Well, I'll start by telling you a joke that a kid in youth group told me. His name's Kingston, so if it's a bad joke, you can blame him. These are three guys going to the pub with their penguins, and the first guy goes up to the guy at the bar and says, I'd like a lemon squash for me and a lemon squash for my penguin. And so the barman gives him a lemon squash and one for the penguin, and he walks away and takes a seat. The second guy comes up and says, I'll have a lemon squash for me and one for my penguin. So the bartender says, okay, sure, here's two lemon squashes, one for you and one for your penguin. A third guy comes up. The barman says, I know what you want, two lemon squashes, one for you, one for your penguin. He says, no, I just have one lemon squash, just one for me, thanks. And the penguin looks up at his friends, thinking, what's going on? We've been friends for years. We've been through so much together. We've experienced the world together. Why hasn't he bought me a lemon squash? So he opens his beak and says, because penguins can't speak English. That's the end. All right, I think it's time to get started. You can thank Kingston for that. I'd like to start by showing you some pictures. And as you'll be able to see from these pictures, some people get a little bit into their sport. They get a bit into their team that they support. Some, you know, a little bit too much. Some, you know, way too much. Now, for lots of people, getting into their team or getting into their sport, it's more than just an interest. They live and they breathe it. It's what gives them reason to wake up in the morning. It's what they think about all day long, and it's what makes their life worth living. But it's not just sports either. Next guy, some people, they get into science fiction a little bit too much. That's not me, Melissa. That's Some people get into Facebook or relationships or work or music as the next ones. I heard there's some One Direction fans here, so you probably get along with those girls down the bottom. But sometimes you've really got to wonder, are these things really worth living for? Are they worth getting that crazy for? Well, we're all here this weekend because we do have something that's worth living for. We're all here because Jesus has called us to be a part of his team. We're on Team Jesus. And so we're going to be considering what difference it actually makes in our everyday life to be a part of Team Jesus. And tonight we're going to begin these series of talks by thinking about what it means for us to get into the team spirit. If we're a part of this team, what sort of attitude should we have? What should motivate us in life? What should drive us? What should be our purpose? What should be our reason for living? So tonight we're going to begin by looking at Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to be introduced to one of the most fanatical people on Team Jesus of all time. It's the Apostle Paul. And by looking at the way he lived and breathed this team spirit in Jesus' team, we're going to learn that actually we have something that we can be enthusiastic about. In fact, we have something that we can be a little bit fanatical about, and that is... You know... That's swing music. No, that is... Jesus, not swing music. So first I want to show you a little clip that will just introduce us a little bit to the book of Philippians. So we're going to show a little clip that will have nothing to do with that music that we just heard. Well, this is some of the content of the book of Philippians. If you want to follow along on a sort of an outline, you can use your books. I hope you've brought your microscopes with you. It's on page 6, and if you hold it about there, you should be able to read it. But we're on, page 6 of the booklets. So you've seen there that the Apostle Paul was the one that wrote the book of Philippians. It's a letter. And Paul, before he became a Christian, he was one of the strictest, sort of most orthodox religious teachers in the Jewish faith that were around. He was a Pharisee, and he hated Jesus. He hated anyone who followed Jesus, and he was willing to do whatever it took to stop people talking about Jesus and spreading the news about him. In fact, he went as far as hunting down Christians and having them thrown in prison, and some of them he had killed. But 25 years before he wrote this letter, he had an encounter with Jesus. Jesus appeared to him on the road and told him to back off. And from that point on, Paul's life completely changed. He realized that God had actually sent Jesus into the world. He was the one who had died on the cross for our sin. He had brought us forgiveness. He had brought us eternal life. He had brought us salvation. And from that time on, Paul changed his attitude. In fact, he joined Jesus' team and he threw everything into it. And instead of then hunting down Christians to try and stop them talking about Jesus, he threw his whole life into telling people about Jesus as far as he could. So the next slide will show you that eventually took him to Europe, a place called Philippi, where he planted the very first church that existed in Europe. And there, heaps of people heard about Jesus and they joined Team Jesus. And though Paul eventually had to move on, he kept in contact with this church. They kept on supporting him and he kept on writing to encourage them in their faith. So now, 10 years later, Paul finds himself chained up in prison. The tables have turned completely. The guy who used to try and hunt down Christians and throw them into prison for talking about Jesus has now been hunted down and thrown into prison himself. Why? Because he's been talking about Jesus. The Romans aren't happy about it, so they've locked him up. In fact, they're so unhappy about it that they're contemplating whether they kill him for preaching about Jesus. So it's from behind bars that he's writing this letter. We have to remember that. He's writing to the Philippian church to encourage them in the team spirit. But even though he's in these depressing circumstances, you might say, his attitude is that no matter what he faces in life, no matter how bad things get, he's always got something that's worth living for. He's got something that drives him, something that makes him get up in the morning. See, because Jesus has saved him and given him eternal life, a future that's sure, has brought him onto his team, this is something that drives Paul now so that other people can join his team as well. So that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. What's true for Paul can actually be true for all of us. The good news of salvation in Jesus is something well and truly worth giving all of our lives for. It's something that's worth living for. And that is the team spirit that we're to share. So if you've got your Bible with you tonight, you might want to keep that open at Philippians chapter 1. We'll be particularly looking from verse 12 to 26. So keep that open and you can follow along with us. But the words will be up on the screen. So, as I said, Paul's writing this letter and he's in prison. He's bound to two Roman guards who are on duty to protect him all the time. He feels the pull of these heavy chains, every movement he makes. He's in a shameful position as a prisoner. But when he writes to the Philippians and he's describing his chains, his imprisonment, he doesn't dwell on them. In fact, he focuses on something else completely. Look at what he says in verse 12. He says this: "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." He says, forget about my chains. You know, I was thrown in prison so that I would stop talking about Jesus, so that the good news of Jesus would stop spreading. But actually, now I'm in chains. It's spreading faster than when I was free. This is good news. See, verse 13 says, it's worth me being in chains. Why? Because as a result of this, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Now, this palace guard that he's talking about, these are the Roman soldiers who are chained to him. And these are the hit team of Caesar. They're the best of the best. They're a group of 9,000 soldiers who are his bodyguard, the most elite soldiers in Rome. They're very hard men to get access to, hard men to tell the good news about Jesus to. And now Paul finds himself chained to two of them for hours on end. What will he talk about? You know, you can imagine this big Roman soldier standing next to him and saying, "Oh, what are you in for?" And he says, "Well, I'm in chains for Christ. I'm in chains because I've been talking about Jesus, this same Jesus who is Lord and Saviour of all, this same Jesus who died on the cross to forgive you of your sins," and so on and so forth. And as a result, it became clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that Paul was in chains for Christ. See, Paul made the most of even his chains so that everyone knew he was there because he knew that Jesus was Lord and Saviour of all. So that's the first reason his chains were worth it. But look at the second reason in verse 14. He says, "Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously, more fearlessly." So you might expect that if a Christian gets thrown in prison and you know that it's because they've been talking about Jesus, then you'll shut up about it. You won't talk about Jesus in case you get thrown into prison too. But actually, the opposite tends to happen. The opposite has happened throughout history and still happens today. See, earlier this year, there was a minister who was released from prison after he'd been in prison for 13 years in Laos. His name was Boon Chan. Now, his only crime was receiving some Bible training at a Bible school. And then when people came into his clothes shop, he would tell them the good news about Jesus. And people from all surrounding villages used to come into his shop just because they were interested in hearing about Jesus. And in fact, through his witness to them, 70 people came to join Team Jesus. Now, the authorities weren't happy about this. And repeatedly, they told him to stop. They told him to stop believing in Jesus and stop spreading the Christian faith. They told him to cease all worship activities at his shop. But Boon Chan refused. And so he was put in chains and locked up in prison for 13 years. Now you might expect that this small group of 70 believers that had become Christians through his witness would have gone quiet. But the opposite happened. In fact, his wife was encouraged to speak the good news about Jesus fearlessly and courageously. And by the time he was released from prison, 13 years later, there were 3,000 believers in that group. Not 70, 3,000. See, it's good for us to hear stories about the Apostle Paul and about our brother Boon Chan in Laos. People who really have this team spirit. People who are willing to even go to prison for the sake of speaking about Jesus to those around them. Because it encourages us to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. See, guys, it's worth us talking about Jesus, even if we might have to face some trouble for it. It's worth talking about Jesus at school or at work or at sport, even if you'll be ridiculed for it. It's worth inviting your friends to youth group to hear about Jesus, even if they might reject you and refuse your invitation. It's worth sharing your faith with your friends, even if you'll be ridiculed and mocked and ostracized for it. In fact, the good news of Jesus is something that's even worth being put in chains for, put in prison for. Because the good news about Jesus is the only way that people can ever find salvation. People can ever find forgiveness. People can ever find eternal life. So that's well and truly worth us being put in prison for if someone gets to live for eternity because we've shared the good news with them. Let's go to the next slide. See, Paul's not only facing chains for talking about Jesus. He's also facing rivalry. See, other people aren't so happy about what Paul's doing, and they're trying to make life difficult for him while he's in prison. And yet his attitude is that the good news of Jesus is even worth facing this kind of rivalry for. Let's look at verses 15 to 17. It says this, "It's true. Some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I'm put here for the defence of the gospel. But the former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but supposing they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains." See, there's two groups of people that are talking about Jesus while Paul's in prison, and they are both talking about salvation in Jesus, but they're doing it for very different reasons. See, on the one hand, you've got those people who love Paul and care for him, and they see that now he's in prison, there's a big gap in his ministry, so they step in to fill his spot. But look what's underlined here, the second group of people. These other group of people are preaching out of envy and rivalry. They're doing it out of selfish ambition in verse 17, not sincerely, but trying to stir up trouble for Paul. See, these are all people that are in Team Jesus, but some of them are actually trying to preach about Jesus to cause more trouble for Paul, make his life more uncomfortable while he's in prison. And we don't know exactly why, but it could be that they're just jealous of him. They're jealous that he is bringing more people into Team Jesus than they are. Now, they're not really being team players, are they? They're not being partners with Paul in the gospel. They're just kind of trying to win more converts while he's stuck behind bars. They're trying to rub it in his face that they're free to talk about Jesus while he's stuck in prison. This is competition. It's rivalry. It's pride. It's jealousy. And it's horrible. You think, Paul must be so discouraged. Is it really worth all this? Not just being in chains, but being sort of kicked while you're down. Is the gospel really worth that? Well, what does Paul say in verse 18? But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. See, what does it matter if they're trying to make my life difficult? What does it matter if they can preach about Jesus while I'm stuck behind bars? Christ is being preached. The gospel is advancing. People are being saved. This is good. I rejoice in this. That's what matters. That's what makes my heart beat. That's what gives me reason to wake up in the morning. That's what makes life worth living. It doesn't matter how difficult things are for me. Now, guys, this kind of ugly rivalry still exists between churches, maybe between youth groups, maybe between even individual Christians. Maybe you've seen it. You know, we become envious and we become jealous when maybe a friend is better at sharing their faith with other people than we are. Maybe we get a bit annoyed at the church down the road that has the really big youth group while our youth group is small and theirs is growing and ours is shrinking. Maybe we get frustrated. We get discouraged because we just don't know the right words to say, it seems, but other people are so good at it. There can be real rivalry in our team. But when we're tempted to feel like this, we need to catch some more of Paul's team spirit, don't we? He says, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. I rejoice. See, in Jesus' team, we should rejoice in the success of other Christians. We should rejoice when other people bring people to join into Jesus' team. We should rejoice because Christ is preached and Jesus' team is growing and more people are receiving eternal life. This is a good thing, even if it's not us that gets to do the work ourselves. Well, let's continue. We see Paul doesn't just finish there either. See, he is so fanatical about Jesus that he says Jesus isn't just worth being in chains for, he's not just worth facing rivalry for, but actually Jesus is worth dying for. Look at what he says in the end of verse 18 and into 19. He says, yes, I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help given me by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Now, when he says deliverance here, he doesn't mean that what's happened will turn out that he knows for sure he'll be delivered from prison or he'll be delivered from the death sentence that he's waiting to hear. He doesn't know. We just read that in the next few verses. What he's saying is, I know that I will be delivered from God's judgment. He knows that for sure. See, Paul's facing death, but he knows that God will save him even from death and through death. So he knows the good news that because Jesus hung on a cross to pay for his sin, now he will be spared from judgment. Jesus has turned the doors of death into the gateway to glory. Paul knows even if he is killed, he gets to be with God forever in heaven. See, this is what he is sure that he'll be delivered from. Jesus is even worth dying for because if he dies, he gets to start enjoying his eternal life in heaven. But even with this hope, death is never, never an easy thing to face. He still needs help from his friends. He still needs help from the Spirit of Jesus Christ. While he's waiting to see whether he will actually have to die for his faith. This is really hard work. And yet he waits with a hopeful expectation, doesn't he? Look at verse 20. His expectation is that he will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Now, put on the spot like this, Paul must really be tempted to just give up on Jesus. Say, no, I'll stop talking about him. I'll give up on him. Just don't kill me. But he doesn't want that to happen. His prayer is that Jesus will even be glorified, even if he has to die for him. Jesus is something worth dying for. He wants Jesus to look good, not only in how he preaches, but even in how he dies. Now, there's a picture up here. It's not a photo of the actual guy, but a statue made of him, obviously. He was a church leader in the second century. His name is Polycarp. Not Magikarp, the Pokemon, but Polycarp, the man. He was a great church leader, and he was persecuted for trusting in Jesus. And he was an old man when he was put on trial, and so someone felt sorry for him and said, look, if you just curse Jesus, if you just declare Caesar as your Lord instead of Jesus, then you'll escape torture, you'll escape death. Just do it. And the crowd said, you just curse him. Just curse Jesus. But this is what Polycarp said. Instead, he raised his voice as loudly as his old frame would allow, and he cried, 86 years have I served Christ, and he has done me no wrong. How then shall I curse my King who saved me?" Polycarp refused to deny Jesus, and he was burned at the stake for it. And friends, Christ was exalted in his body, even in his death. How would you go if you were put in Paul's situation or Polycarp's situation, facing death for preaching about Jesus? Would you stand by Jesus to the end if it meant that you would even have to face dying for him? Do you stand firm by Jesus' side when he's being bagged out at school? Do you stand by Jesus' side when Christians are being mocked around you? Do you have that team spirit? Is your hope that and your desire that Jesus will be honoured in everything that you do, but even in the way that you die one day? That's the team spirit. Well, we find ourselves in a bit of a funny spot now in verses 21 to 23. You know, Paul's been thinking about suffering and dying for Jesus in a way that will point people towards him. And now he considers a strange question. Actually, if he was given the choice, would he rather live for Christ or die for Christ? And what's even stranger about it is that Paul doesn't seem to be able to make up his mind. Look at what it says in verses 21 to 23. "For to me, to live is Christ, but to die, well, that's gain. See, if I go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what will I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far." See, on the one hand, Paul knows that to live is Christ. His life is about glorifying Christ. It's to know Christ. It's to serve Christ. It's to talk about Christ. See, Jesus is worth living for. But on the other hand, to die is gain. If he dies, he gets to start enjoying his eternal life in heaven. No more suffering, no more chains, no more pain, no more crying. Jesus is worth dying for. "So what shall I choose?" he says. What would you choose? To live or to die for Christ? Would this decision be as hard for you as it is for Paul? Personally, I know it wouldn't be for me. I just tend to think about myself when I have to make this decision. If I'm having a good day, then I think, yeah, to live is Christ. That's when I'm on holidays and when I just got married. If I'm having a bad day, no, I'd rather die and go to be with Christ. That's when I've got an exam tomorrow and when I'm sick, because I'm thinking about myself. But Paul's in prison, remember. He's about to face the death penalty, potentially. But he's not thinking about himself. He's thinking about Jesus. That's the team spirit. He's thinking about what will make Jesus look good, whether I live or whether I die. Well, that's how I make my decision. And convinced of this, he decides that it's better to stay. Even though it's worth living for Jesus, worth dying for Jesus, there are more people that need to hear about Jesus. And those who are already in his team need to be built up in their faith. So look what he says in verse 24. "Now it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. And convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with you for your progress in the joy, in joy and faith." See, Paul sees that there's heaps of work that he can still do alive for Jesus. And so it's well and truly worth staying to encourage the Philippians, to encourage other people into Team Jesus. And convinced of this, he decides it's better to stick around. And he's pretty sure that God will let him hang around for a while too. And friends, this is the team spirit. Paul's reason for getting up every morning. It's his reason to have purpose in life. It's to see the good news of Jesus spread, to see people come into Team Jesus, and to see those who are in Team Jesus grow in maturity. See, if it's better for that to happen by living, then he'll live. If it's better for that to happen by dying, then he'll die. See, Philippians 1 has shown us this, that Paul is an absolute fanatic about Jesus. He's definitely got this team spirit that's required. And in spite of all that's happening to him, he's in chains, he's facing rivalry, he might be facing death. He rejoices because Christ is preached. And seeing the good news of Jesus spread, that's what makes his heart beat. That's what makes his life worth living. That's what gives him purpose and meaning. That's what gives him hope in life. And that's the team spirit that we should all have too. But the challenge for us is that our attitude? Do you see Jesus as the reason that you live? Do you want other people to come into Jesus' team more than anything else? That's a challenge for us. But remember that Jesus lived, he died, he rose again to save our lives, to bring us into his team, his eternally winning team. So we should be driven by wanting other people to join this team as well. We should be fanatical about Jesus. We should live for him, to serve him, to know him, to speak about him. Because he really is worth living for, and he really is worth dying for. To live is Christ. And to die, well, that's gain as well. Let me pray for us before we break up into some supper time and discussion groups. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you have given us everything. You have lived the perfect life that we couldn't. You have died the death that we deserved. And so you have now given us your perfect life. You have taken away all of our rotten lives so that now through trusting in you we can have eternal life. You have asked us to join your team. You have called us to be a part of your team. Lord Jesus, we pray that we might have this attitude that we have a reason to wake up in the morning, something that drives us all the time, that we'll really have this team spirit to help other people come into your team as well, that we will talk about you, we will share the good news about you with people around us. Lord, may that be the thing that gets us up in the morning, despite the hardships that we face and whatever situation we're in. Lord Jesus, help us to have this spirit and help us to get thinking more about this as we break up into our discussion groups this evening. And we pray this so that you will be exalted in our bodies, whether in life or even by death. Amen.